Welcome to Florence Baptist Church. What an honor and privilege to be here today. And once again, happy Mother's Day. Very special day. Thanks so much for coming today and making today a very special day. I'd like to encourage you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the fastest way to find 2 Timothy is not to start from Genesis, but to start from the book of Revelation. Because from the book of Revelation, there are several small books from Revelation to 2 Timothy. It's only 12 books in from the New Testament, from the book of Revelation. So 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 and 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So it's 12 books from the book of Revelation to 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 1. Also like to announce that we do have things up here from the Christian school. If you look up here, we've got this little display up here, Your Sin and Sacrifice, and the Ark of the Covenant, different things all out there, and all that goes on with the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the picture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. That's a neat little one to look at. There's also one up here on Mormons versus Christianity. It's a great study, and also on Theodore Roosevelt. And then over here, we have a presentation of dogs. And then also pictures that young people have taken for competition. And we have up here a nice picture of a horse and other pictures. There's some neat pictures here that you should come up here and take a look at. Here's one up here. This is my favorite right here. There you go, waterfall. And so these were taken from our young people. And so be sure to come on up here. Take a look at those things, the pictures, as well as the displays. Welcome to come up here. Sit down, pick them up, and read through them. They are very, very good. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at the mother's greatest gift, a mother's greatest gift. And here in 2 Timothy, I want to begin reading at verse 1. The Word of God says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I love that phrase, promise of life. Life, truth, blessings comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our hope, our trust is in Him. Christ is truth. Men in this world always look for truth. And when they try to tell me there is no God, my question is, then where's your source of truth come from? How do you know what's the difference between right and wrong? If you don't believe there's a God and there's no foundation to what you believe, well then, what do you call truth? How do you know what is truth? What's your basis? What's your ground, your foundation, the stone that you stand upon? Well, Paul is saying here, our stone that we stand upon is Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is the truth. And it says in verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul prayed for Timothy. He had a burden for Timothy. He prayed night and day. The Word of God says that we should pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we're constantly praying, constantly in prayer, but what it refers to is the fact that we always have a mind of prayer. We're always right there with Him. We're always in a source of prayer. Even throughout the day, when something difficult goes on, just whisper the prayer, Lord, help me through this. Help me conquer this. Help me do this. It's an attitude of prayer. And then verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Timothy was one of compassion. He had love for people. He had a tender heart, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We want to look at the mother's great gift. the gift of Lois, the gift of Eunice that was given to Timothy. You know, as a young person, I have told people often that I went to church 9 months even before I was born. I mean, my parents always went to church. There was never a service that they missed. And of course, you might say, but your dad was the pastor. That's true. But shouldn't that also be true in all of our lives? That church is important? That church is something that you just don't ignore or you keep from? Our walk with the Savior is so, so important. And this world, you look at the world around us of sin and of debauchery and wickedness, and it takes a lot to overcome the things of this world. So I grew up in a pastor's home. I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota. When I went to kindergarten back in a few years ago, I think it was just yesterday, when I went to kindergarten, it was a one-room schoolhouse. It was there on the corner of the highway. And then, of course, I went to first grade, went up to what school was called Horse Man. I had a difficult time. It was not easy for me. School was not easy. In fact, they did not know that I was half blind until I was in third grade. And so when they finally figured out I was half blind, I couldn't see, I was already far, far behind. And of course, the school just kind of pushed me through. In fact, the principal called my dad in, and the principal told my dad that your son, Timothy, is mentally retarded and he's not going to go anywhere. Well, that made my parents very upset, and you can see my love for the public school. So hence, I really appreciate the Christian school that has God-centered teaching and the purpose of it. And so a few years later, my parents found a Christian school for me to go to. I finished my fifth grade in public school, and I went to the Christian school, and they told me I was so far behind that they put me back a grade. So I did fifth grade twice. Also born in December, I was back behind a year, so I struggled. It was difficult. But you know, my mother stuck with me. She sat with me. In fact, one summer, I hated that summer, one summer, she made me sit with her every single day, and my mother taught me how to read. She taught me multiplication problems and all those important things, and still, even as I was going to the Christian school, I struggled. It was difficult for me. It wasn't easy. I had to work for everything I did. And my mother stayed up with me. My mother looked at me and she said, you know, I will help you until the cows come home. I said, Mom, we don't have any cows. So she said, see, I won't quit. I won't stop. So I worked hard. And it was not uncommon for me to stay up until 12, 1 o'clock at night, with my mother helping me. So I am a late bird. I mean, Nancy has told me, boy, you're still up this hour? Yeah, I do my work at night. I mean, 12, 1 o'clock at night is when I'm in the midst of going here. And so anyway, I stayed up really late, but my mother stuck with me. She stuck with me. They didn't think I was going to do anything, didn't think I was going to go anywhere, but I had a mother that loved me, a mother that stuck by me, and it would have been so easy, to look at all that and say, well, the world is right, I'm just going to quit, I'm not going to try. But I went the other way. I said, I'm going to work hard. And so I went on, graduated from high school, went to college, graduated with my Bachelor of Arts degree. Went on a few years later, graduated with my Master of Arts degree, and a few years later, I got my MDiv, Master of Divinity, all because I was mentally retarded, as the public school told me. It was so easy to quit. It would have been so easy just to say, I'm a failure and I can't go. But it took a mother that loved me, who stuck by me and helped me to overcome those things. I want to share with you a message of a mother's great gift. First of all, this gift, it was a saving faith. First of all, let's look here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Look here at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that in thee also. The greatest gift that a mother can give is a saving faith, a faith that only comes from God. Look at Acts chapter 16. In fact, leave your hand in 2 Timothy. Leave it here in 2 Timothy and turn back with me to Acts chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And in Acts chapter 16, look at verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That name, Timothy, means Timo, means I honor. And Theos, of course, is the Greek word for God, Theos. And this word Timothy or Timotheus means I honor God. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So in order to be a testimony, in order to be a part of the Greeks and the church that day, as things were coming and the Holy Spirit was working in hearts, he had to be above reproach. And there was a faith there that they believed in and that they trusted in. They believed that God's word was true. And that through Timothy, they learned that yes, and through the testimony and through the witness and through evangelism, not only was Timothy born again, but so was his father. Came to a saving knowledge. So a mother is one, and the greatest gift that they can give is their faith. What they believe. Where they stand. This quarter... I've been going through a series of studies with our young people at school dealing with what we believe, the truth of God's Word. When it comes to Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, when it comes to the deity of Christ, when it comes to creation versus evolution, and when it comes to why do the just suffer? And we're going to look at that tonight. Why do the just suffer? We're going to finish that study and like to encourage you to come back. But I've told our young people, we know what our pastor believes. We should know what our parents believe. The question is, what do we believe? You see, she passed on her faith. She believed in the true and living God. She believed that God's word was true. She believed that Jesus Christ was God. She believed that God conquered death. The last enemy of ours is death. And it was conquered through Christ. Christ has conquered that enemy, that we can have hope. Mom passed that faith on to Timothy because he loved Timothy. He had a desire for him to grow spiritually, to love God's word, to cherish God's word, and to raise that child in a God-fearing way, that they too will have that faith, that they'll grow in their faith, that when they leave home, they don't leave God. When they leave home, they don't leave the church. When they leave home, they still have a centered goal, and that is the truth found in the Lord Jesus Christ. She shared her faith with her son, Timothy. And I want to urge you mothers to share your faith. Let them realize that there is a God in heaven. And the best way to do that is to be faithful in the house of God. To be a part of the church. Getting involved. It's so easy to allow everything in this world to get in the way. So easy to say, oh, we can't go to church today. This is more important. The question is it really more important? Is it really more important to raise your children in a way that they think, well, it's not important to mom and dad, must not be important, we'll do things our own way? It needs to be important. With Lois and Eunice, it was important. It was a faith that she wanted to pass on to her children, that they'll grow up in the things of God, cherish the things of God, cherish the word of God, and to be faithful in the house of God. This is what I call the mother's greatest gift. Number one, it was a saving faith. But not only was it a saving faith, but it was also a seen faith. Here in the Word of God, we see, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that in thee also. Timothy saw the faith in grandma, She saw the faith in those around her. You see, it was a real faith. It was an unfeigned faith. It was without hypocrisy. It was real. It's the real deal. It's Christ is real. He is alive. He is truly the Son of God, the truth, the source of truth. It is real. And oh, she installed in Timothy that he too can find that faith. Look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. It is real. It is real. It's the hope that we have. You see, the Bible shares with us, for all have sinned. We've all sinned against God. I remember as a sinner and realizing that, hey, I did not know Christ as my Savior. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I knew the gospel. Folks, I knew the gospel so well that I could lead a friend of mine to the Lord even before I was saved. I knew it that well. I heard the gospel every single day, and I knew the gospel, but it wasn't in my heart. It wasn't in my heart. I would lay down to go to sleep, and Satan would whisper those words in your ears, oh, you're not saved. You're not born again. You're not saved. And I thought, oh, man. But then he would say, but you've been baptized. You're okay. You've been baptized. Even though I knew that being baptized, and I made that statement. I made that statement of prayer. I prayed the prayer, but it wasn't in the heart. I did not believe it in the heart. And I went ahead and got baptized, and Satan would use those words, you have been baptized. Even though I knew baptism couldn't save you. You could get baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your name and it won't save you. It just won't. Baptism is not salvation. And I would go to sleep knowing that if I were to die that day, the gates of hell would spring right open. But I realized one day that God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. I couldn't rest on my parents' decision. I had to rest on my own. And my choice was to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, because it was a seen faith. I saw it in my parents. I knew that it was real. It was real. And when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I realized that it was real within me too. I had a hope and a joy that is unexplainable. Timothy, raised up in a home that he saw that, yes, it was a saving faith, but it was also a seen faith. They could see it in mom and dad. They could see it in grandmother. And you know, we need to share with our children in the same way. And you know, the best way to do that is to be faithful in the things of God. Reading our Bible, being faithful in the house of God. Are your children special to you enough to make what is real, real in their lives as well? To share with them the hope that we have that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, not only did this marvelous gift that mom gave to Timothy, it was a saving faith, it was a seen faith, but it was also a shared faith. It shares with us here in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 14, it says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they were which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phileas and Hermogenes. So it shares with us here that it was also a shared faith. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Keeping your hand in 2 Timothy. Don't lose 2 Timothy. But the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. This was a shared faith. Not only was it a saving faith, a seen faith, but they also shared it with others. Look at this. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, or Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it says this. We're going to read verses 4 through 13. First of all, in verse 4, this shared faith. And this is Timothy's setting. It's a family setting. And this, first of all, hear the Lord continually. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Timothy shared with the world around him and his parents that you can hear the Lord continually. He is available. He is there. But not only to hear the Lord continually, but to love the Lord fearfully. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. He shared his faith. He shared with the world around him that hear the Lord continually, and to love the Lord fearfully, but also to teach the Lord diligently. Let your children know. Look at verse 7. But let's read verse 6 too. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It's not only a Lord to hear the Lord continually, to love the Lord fearfully, but to teach the Lord diligently, to teach him diligently in the home, to let the children know, hey, who the true God is. What do you believe? What is your foundation? What is your stone that you stand upon? He taught them diligently, verse 7, and then not only that, but to fear the Lord greatly. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. The family setting. Timothy grew up in a setting in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we are to hear the Lord continually, love the Lord fearfully, teach the Lord diligently, and fear the Lord greatly. That was the setting Timothy found himself in a home that loved the Lord, in a home that put God first, in a home that sought to serve the Lord diligently, putting God first. That was a child that grew up in the things of God. He cherished the things of God. So, a mother's great gift. First of all, it was a saving faith. Secondly, it was a seen faith. Thirdly, it was a shared faith. And then look also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 1. Because it was a live, or to live wisely, multiply greatly, and enjoy God's prosperity. Look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Teaching, judgment, the things of God, to live wisely, to multiply greatly, to enjoy God's prosperity. Verse 2, that thou mightst fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy day may be prolonged. Timothy grew up in a home that loved the Lord, who cherished the things of God, who loved the Lord continually, who loved the Lord fearfully, who taught the Lord diligently, who feared the Lord greatly, putting God first and choosing to live for him. If we look back once again at 2 Timothy, I did what I told you not to do. I closed my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at Timothy. How did he turn out? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, that's Paul, being mindful of thy tears. First of all, Timothy had a tender heart. He loved those who were around him. He loved his mother. He loved the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord. He had a tender heart. You know, when was the last time that we prayed for someone who wasn't saved? I prayed for someone who had a need. You know, as we raise our children, moms, we need to teach them to have a tender heart. Tender heart to the things of God. Tender heart to living for the Lord and serving him with all of our hearts. Not only did Timothy have tears and a tender heart, but he also had an unfeigned faith. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, It was unshakable. It was unmovable. It was a faith where he stood upon the truth of the Word of God. He was a young man who grew up with faith, a faith in the true and living God, knew where the truth could be found and the hope in which he could seek. But not only was tears a tender heart and of unfeigned faith, but also look at verse 7, where we find out love. And the verse here, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That was a young man who grew up in a family who loved him, a family who loved the Lord, a family who cherished him and wanted him to grow up in the things of God. His home, it was one that feared the Lord continually, loved the Lord fearfully, taught the Lord diligently, and feared the Lord God greatly. A home that loved the Lord. A home that raised a son that when he left, he still cherished the things of God. He still came to church. He still had a desire to live for the Lord and to serve him. You know, moms, I want to challenge you to raise your children in the things of God. Don't allow church to be second, third, fourth, fifth place in your home. Allow it to be number one. Allow it to change lives that others can see Christ through him. But not only love, but how about a sound mind? Verse 7, a sound mind. It was sober. It was centered. It was focused. A home that loved the Lord. A mother's great gift. You can give that gift too. You can share with the world your love for the things of God. To pray for them. To cherish them. To encourage them. We know what mom and dad believe. But what do they believe? Where do they stand? Do they love the Lord their God? Or is church second place like it is in your home? Let's put things number one for the things of God. Lois, grandmother, and Eutychus, his mother, loved the Lord with all their heart. And they shared with Timothy that love to reach out to those who are lost. Timothy learned to love the things of God. That was number one in his life because it was number one in grandma's heart too. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love and for how you love each and every one of us. We want to thank you so much for our mothers here today. I pray that you'll bless them, challenge them, encourage them to put you first, to put you first in their home, to love their children in such a way that they'll learn to love you, that they'll cherish your word, cherish the principles of God's word, that you'll become number one in their lives. We see a world around us where church isn't important, where the things of God take second place. We see in a world today where the truth is false and false is truth. A world today that ignores the things of God. We looked in Deuteronomy and how you challenged Israel to put God first, to write verses on their hands and in booklets and tablets and sticking them on the wall that we can focus on the things of God instead of the things of this world. Father, help us to do the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kevin, you come.
Please turn to hymn number 157 and stand when you get there. Prayer stairs are open up here.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. All to him I owe. Sin
all to him I owe.
Sin crimson stain.
He washed it white as snow. Verse 2. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. On the left, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. If you please bow your heads, we'll dismiss in prayer.
Father God, thank you so much for today, for the Sunday school lesson, for the message. Help us to go home and study on it and hide thy words in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Father, guide and direct us through the rest of the week. Bring us back tonight. And Father, I just want to praise you for all the mothers out there. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.
You are dismissed.